Welcome to the Sustainability Hour on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. Brought to you by the School of Global Environmental Sustainability, Colorado State University's convening organization for sustainability science.
Thank you for joining us on the Sustainability Hour. I'm your host, Travis.
And I'm Adam.
And today we're going to be talking about Africa, and we'll have on the show the director of CSU's Africa Center, Kathleen Galvin. It's actually a pre-recorded interview that we did after our snow day, which canceled our show.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks back, two or three weeks back or something.
So we're making up that show today. And then later on in the studio, we'll have a CSU grad student from the Fish and Wildlife Department, Shifra Goldenberg, talking about elephant social behavior and implications of poaching on family social structures and some really interesting stuff.
Yeah. And so if you guys have any questions for Schiffer later on in the show, you can text up here at 970-491-5278. Again, she'll be talking about her research, looking at the impacts of poaching, which is becoming really increasing on a lot of the elephants out there, and how that's disturbed family structures and stuff. So if you have any questions, text up here in the studio. What else? We got a couple of announcements before.
Yeah, what's going on campus this week? Big ecology conference.
Yeah, tomorrow we've got the FRSES, the Front Range Student Ecology Symposium, and I think it's the 22nd annual FRSES conference. So it's all day tomorrow here at the Laurie Student Center. I think most of the rooms are up near the Cherokee Ballroom, and I think they're going to probably have sheets that will say who's talking in what rooms and stuff. So it's a number of different speakers, grad students, talking about the research that's going on here in the Front Range, as well as different areas of the world. And that's going on all day. I think there's also kind of a quick fire talks in the afternoon. There's poster sessions. Anybody in a kind of interest in ecology, undergrads, grad students, anybody out there, it's really worth stopping by. So it's on the top floor of the Laurie Student Center, and that's all day tomorrow.
It's a cool conference, right? It's all student run. Completely.
Yeah, it's all student run. I think they're the ones that organize it. We had the keynote speaker, Sudeep Chandra, who just spoke. I was just up there. It was from 4 to 5. He gave a really nice kind of inspirational speech as well. And we had him on the show last week, right? He was kind of called in. We had a really nice interview with him. And so he gave a talk. And yeah, it's a really, really great little conference for a day and stuff run completely by students. And so check it out, Laurie Student Center, top floor
tomorrow.
All day tomorrow.
Cool. So today we're heading across the Atlantic Ocean to Africa.
We're
going to stick to talking about the continent of Africa. And we're going to start off the first half of our show with a pre-recorded interview that we did a couple weeks ago with Kathleen Galvin, who is the director of the Africa Center here at CSU.
Yeah, here at CSU.
So we will come back in about half an hour with Schiffer Goldenberg in the studio. But
stay tuned to 90.5 KCSU. You listen to the Sustainability Hour.
Welcome to the Sustainability Hour. I'm Travis.
I'm Patricia.
And I'm Adam.
This week we are talking about Africa. More specifically, we will be talking with Kathleen Galvin, the director of CSU's Africa Center, about the complex issues of biodiversity, ecosystems, livestock, and human well-being, and other sustainability issues facing African nations. Later in the show, we will also have CSU graduate student Shifra Goldenberg in the studio talking about her research on the social structure of African elephants and the implications poaching has on family and social dynamics. But first, let's talk about conservation and sustainability issues in Africa as a whole. Dr. Galvin, thank you for joining us on the Sustainability Hour.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So in our first episode, or our first week of the show, we talked a lot with Peter Bachlin about SOGIS and some of the different centers that are housed underneath SOGIS. And you're the director of the Africa Center. So can you tell us a little bit about what the Africa Center is and what they do?
Yes, I'd be happy to. The Africa Center is housed and sits under the School of Global Environmental Sustainability. And it's a platform for research and engagement throughout the continent of Africa among faculty and students in the community in northern Colorado. We have, the Colorado State has over 100 faculty who are working in Africa. And it's kind of a secret. So we've been trying to, through the Africa Center, to get the word out about the research and engagement that the faculty and students are doing in Africa.
So you said it's a collaboration between of Northern Colorado. So is it just CSU faculty, or are there actually faculty from University of Northern Colorado and CU Boulder? Or?
We engage with everyone up and down the Front Range, all the way from Wyoming into Denver and Boulder. And with our events and the kinds of folks that we have here, we've brought people from Denver, Boulder, and our as well as the faculty here at CSU to talk about issues in Africa. And we aspire to be the Rocky Mountain hub for issues in Africa. And we're young, but we think we'll get there.
Yeah. So what kind of issues are we dealing with in Africa? Like, what are these projects that, some examples of projects?
So among the kinds of projects that faculty and students are working at CSU, they range from everything from veterinary medicine and looking at infectious diseases all the way to art and looking at art in Southern Africa to issues of conservation and wildlife issues in through natural resources and natural sciences. So we have many faculty across the campus in all colleges who are engaged in looking at research and engagement throughout Africa.
Cool. So how long has the Africa Center been in existence?
So we are a year and a half old as a center. But before that, we were a GCRT, which is a Global Challenge Research Team under SOGES. So we initially got funding from the School of Global Environmental Sustainability. And after having initial funding for a year, we decided that we were going to be a center. So now we're a center under SOGES. And we have many projects, not only that support the faculty, but we bring people from outside CSU to give talks and sit on panels and give lectures throughout throughout the year.
Oh, that's cool. So you kind of, you'd mentioned that this is, well, that there's 100 faculty doing African research at CSU, and it was sort of a secret. What came together, or what motivated you guys to actually bring everybody together sort of under this one center and have this conglomerate of research?
Well, we wanted two things. One is that few people knew about the excellent kind of research and engagement and the interdisciplinarity of it that faculty at CSU were doing. And we wanted to engage with the community on and African issues, in part because the kinds of issues on environmental changes, conservation, wildlife issues, water issues, are those that actually touch us here as well. We're not immune just because Africa is far away, that in fact some of the issues that are occurring there are very, very important in our own backyard. So we've wanted to engage with the community beyond just the university. So we have events that are open to the community, and we have a listserv of over 400 people that includes many people in the community. So when we have panels and talks, we'll have many people, not just CSU folks, but people from Fort Collins and the county and Denver and Boulder.
So these panels are meant for the general public as well for the as well as the CSU community?
Absolutely. We have various kinds of events. We have monthly coffee events, and everyone is welcome. And we highlight African coffee, and our next one is March 2nd in 108 Johnson Hall. So if anyone would like to join us for coffee events, and that's for anyone in the community, including CSU, to come and socialize for a little bit. We have lecture series. We've just had Calestous Juma here in the fall from Harvard talking about sustainable agriculture in Africa. In March, March 22nd, we're going to have Jason Bobiein from National Public Radio, who covers health issues And he's coming from Washington to talk about the Ebola, but we hope to get him to also talk about Zika a little bit, even though that's not occurring on the continent quite yet. He will be here on March 22nd, and of course that's open to everyone as well. We have, we've invited people from the Boulder area. We had Mary Hayden from NCAR, the National Center for Atmospheric Research, talking about plague in Uganda. Jackson and Zhao from Indiana University talking about paleoclimate and human evolution in Tanzania. Yeah, so we've also had a panel of primarily folks from the CDC talking about Ebola, and that occurred last year as well. We also have a faculty seminar series. We've just had Jessica Davies last week talk about her work in Ethiopia. But we have David Reap from the art department on March 2nd, who's going to be talking about his work in Southern Africa. And again, those are open for everyone. All of these are advertised on our website. And so all you have to do is go to africacenteroneword.colostate.edu and find out what's occurring.
On that website, when I went there and looked at it, it was a really wonderful interactive map that shows the different projects you guys have, from the different headings that are, is it like conservation and economics and then...
Well, we've put them under three pillars of sustainability, and that's... economics, social, and environmental.
It's really cool. It seems like you guys, a big focus is just getting information out about issues that African nations face. And sometimes I feel like, it can be a struggle, or you hear a lot of stories of struggle in Africa, and a lot of people think it's so far away and don't think about it much. Do you have a lot of good attendance or good feedback from these panels and these talks that you give around town?
So, yes, we do. We try to talk about and bring panels together that are timely. So the Ebola panel that we hosted last year was very timely. And so we had probably half of the audience were people from the community outside of CSU. So we do that in the sense of trying to bring timely issues to the community, including CSU, but we also want to, it's almost advertise the kind of research that faculty and students are doing across the campus. And I can tell you a little bit about a couple of the projects.
Yeah, please do.
Please, yeah. And how many of those projects are going on right now?
Well,
it's an impressive amount on the website.
Well, we've been able to put on the website... I think 32 current projects across Africa, but there's probably at least 60 more across campus. And if students want to get involved and help us gather information on that project, on those projects, please let us know. And we're happy to work with you.
By Johnson Hall, right?
Absolutely.
So you're still sort of trying to integrate everybody that works in Africa into the Africa Center?
Yes. Okay. I mean, everyone's busy.
Absolutely.
And so trying to get that information often entails knocking on doors of faculty to do that. And that's okay. We just need students to help us do that.
Right.
Great. That's a great opportunity.
Yes.
Good networking for some students as well. To knock on some doors and get some information.
Absolutely. So as you can see on the map, there are 32 projects across the continent. If you hit on any one of those little pins that are on the interactive map, it will pop up the principal investigator of that project and what they're doing. So you can explore the continent in terms of the kind of research that is going on. But one, for instance, is we have a smart village microgrid project, which is an energy project in Rwanda on campus. And it's a group of engineers, agriculturalists, economists, and sociologists to look at electrification and rural development in Rwanda. And that's just one example of many different kinds of research that is going on.
So is this using solar panels and all alternative energy?
It's really a micro village level microgrid. Energy comes from primarily water.
Okay.
And not solar. So maybe solar, but mostly water.
Interesting.
You can see on the map the kind of work that's occurring in northern Kenya with elephant conservation as well, and the kind of work that is really important in issues of wildlife conservation in Africa. Again, you can go to our website and look and see what is going on.
And that website seems like a fantastic resource, especially for undergrads, right? When they want to get involved in projects.
Absolutely.
So they can just go on the website, browse everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the projects are so diverse that no matter what your interests are, you can probably get involved in something.
Yeah, it was really impressive looking over those and just the differences. So you're talking about, you know, from, you know, energy and wildlife conservation, there was kind of more arts and stuff. Mm-hmm. There was just a really wide variety. And geographically, it was wide variety as well. You've got north of Sahara, and then you've got sub-Saharan, you've got down to the south. It's all over the whole continent. I mean, it's
right.
Really
yeah.
Quite impressive. Yeah.
And we've only been able to get on the map maybe a third of the kind of projects
yeah.
that actually exist on campus. So if students want to get involved in helping us get more information across campus, please let us know.
We're going to take a quick little break, and we'll be back on the air shortly with Dr. Galvin.
Thank you for listening to the Sustainability Hour. Again, we are listening to a recording of our interview with Kathleen Galvin, and later in the show we will have Shifra Goldenberg talking about her research on animal social behavior. And if you have any questions for Shifra, you can text us at 970-491-5278. And thanks for listening to the Sustainability Hour. And we'll go back to our interview with Kathleen Galvin here on 90.5 KCSU.
So I have a question that's kind of like a side question, if that's possible. So you've mentioned a couple of times that somebody's coming in soon to talk about art. Can you explain to us how, because I'm definitely a big supporter of art and, you know, do music and all sorts of things, but how would you explain how art integrates within the sustainability thinking of the Africa Center?
So I think that one of the ways that art addresses or can address some of these global change kinds of issues is in communication to people beyond academia. So many of us are involved in a science that may be a little bit esoteric to the ordinary person on the ground, but actually using art to actually show the meaningfulness of that science is, I think, increasingly becoming more important as we try and get our science into the hands of everyone. And that includes all stakeholders, like decision makers. And art is one of these forms of communication that can enable us to do that.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I totally agree. It's and you see it more and more each day that people are trying to integrate art and science.
Absolutely.
And it's not only beautiful, but it's also very informative for non-scientists.
It's also nice. It's always, I mean, even if the subject at hand may not be the most optimistic sometimes, just in the fact of the creative efforts of the art, it makes it very kind of hopeful and kind of like looking towards the future, even if it's changing what's happening now towards the future. It's a nice kind of optimistic side of what may be going on for, you know, better or worse, or what's happening, but how to kind of move forward on that. I think it's really nice. Yeah, the communication is
and it
very
also
important.
Makes, and scientists are always so dry. I mean, all of us are about just trying to communicate things, and we use the proper words.
It's
and
not always just the data.
And it's actually sometimes used for converting those data into meaningful, I don't want to say sound bites, but bits that can be useful for people, all stakeholders who are actually, some of whom may be trying to develop solutions on the ground. And so actually using scientific knowledge and converting that into different like stories or different ways of knowing so people can actually use that information to solve their problems on the ground is very powerful.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to me. It seems very fitting since art is so culturally embedded across the continent of Africa also.
Yeah,
that's a good way of communicating this, what's going on there. So that's a lot of stuff that your guys' center is involved in, and you're the director. What is your role as director of the Africa Center?
Well, right now I'm sort of chief operating officer and dishwasher and bottle washer.
Note taker.
Yeah, exactly. So we do have Renee Harmon, who is a graduate student, actually works with the website. And so she's the social media person. And so I do have a little help. But I also have a leadership team of people across campus who help me decide where to go, what to do next, who to invite, what are important issues to address in panels. And these folks are Jessica Davis, who is in the Department of She's in the College of Agriculture.
Sue the Vanderwood. The departments at CSU are very complicated, yes. So to understand them.
Yes. Sue Vanderwood, who's in veterinary medicine. Robin Reed, who's in ecosystem science. And Stacy Lynn and Paul Evangelista, who are in the Natural Resource Ecology Lab. So all of these people are engaged heavily in Africa and in their research. And so I'm not doing this on my own entirely. So I have a group of fantastic people across campus who are leaders in Africa, too.
Yeah, and it's a diverse, you know, diverse research, too, and your leadership. That's really great.
Exactly.
We're going to take a quick break and be back with Dr. Galvin. Keep it here to 90.5 KCSU. You've been listening to Sustainability Hour here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. We're going to return to our interview with Dr. Kathleen Galvin at the Africa Center here at CSU. And in about 10-15 minutes, we'll be talking with Schiffer Goldenberg here live in the studio about the work she's been doing with African elephants. So stay tuned, and we'll return to the interview.
So can you tell us a little bit about your background? How did you find yourself getting into this field and ultimately becoming, you know, the director of this conglomerate of African research?
So I've always wanted to go to Africa since 10th grade. And I was in boarding school, and I had a roommate in 10th grade whose parents lived in Kenya. And she showed me pictures of she living in Kenya and the kinds of things she did. And I'll never forget a picture of her standing next to a zebra. And I said, oh, I have to go there. I must go there someday. And it actually wasn't until I was in graduate school and working on my PhD that I actually got there. But it's that was my goal from way back when. So I finally got there, and I've been engaged in the continent for over 25 years now. And so the Africa Center is sort of a culmination of many years of passion for the continent.
And what kind of research have you been doing out there in the past? What really got you started in Africa?
Well, I actually was on a project. I'm a biological anthropologist, and biological anthropology is sometimes called physical anthropology, and it looks at the biology of humans, and some folks look at human evolution and the biology of Homo sapiens, but others look at human biology and adaptation among people today, and that's my brand of biological anthropology. And I was I started work in an interdisciplinary project with ecologists in northern Kenya, working with a group of pastoral nomads who are people who herd domestic livestock, camels and cattle and sheep and goats and donkeys. And I was doing human biology, food security, and nutritional status among these folks. So I lived in a tent with these people because they're nomadic. I had to be nomadic too. So my house mm-hmm. also had to be able to be picked up and moved. So I lived with those folks for about 18 months straight and looked at the seasonal effects of food intake, food security, and nutritional status.
Were there, like, with that 18 months, was there kind of a yearly type migration of where they moved as well? Or what, did you start at point A and never return in those
like
18 months?
Like a pattern months? Of migration? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I was kind of
yes.
wondering. Yeah.
I mean, would, all pastorals have a
I would
pattern.
So. Yeah.
But in a very large, in a big sense, they might have a pattern. But really, they follow the yeah. the grass and the water. And but it changed seasonally. So seasonality in dry, very dry environments, when people are living in areas that are highly unproductive, seasonal effects on production, in this case, it's livestock, affects their food security. And so that actually affected where they went
yeah.
a great deal. This is an extreme, this was an extreme and still is today environment in the sense that it rained about 2 months out of the year and it was dry, usually about 10 months. So that was, now I'm looking at issues, a little bit different issues. Is I'm still working in the dry lands. I've worked up and down the Rift Valley all the way from southern Ethiopia into Tanzania and some in southern Africa. But now I'm looking at the intersection of conservation, wildlife conservation, and human well-being. And looking at community-based conservancies as they are popping up all over the continent as a response to land fragmentation and population pressures and things like that. These sort of global changes in markets and land tenure changes, are affecting these dry lands not only for the wildlife like elephants and rhino and big herbivores that like to move across large landscapes, but people and their livestock as well. So these conservancies, these community-based conservancies are popping up, and we are looking at the outcomes of those conservancies for human well-being and ecosystem and the environments themselves.
So in terms of their migrations and the patterns of the migrations of the people, I've heard in at least some documentaries and nature shows that in Africa specifically, that the migrations for the large mammals have been getting harder, but also because of the water availability, because the water patterns have been getting in the entire world. Because of global climate change, they have just been getting more unpredictable. And is that also affecting these nomadic communities
that
in terms
is
of
a,
how they follow the water?
Right. That's huge. It's a huge issue. I mean, if you think about it, both wildlife and livestock need forage and water, basically, especially the herbivores. I mean, they're the predators as well that depend on the herbivores. But in any case, the changes in seasonality and the changes in forage and water are caused not only by climate changes that are occurring, but there's issues with invasive species coming mm-hmm. in associated with those changing climates. And people are not able to move as far or as often as they once were, partly because of this land fragmentation due to land tenure changes and population pressures and many kinds of issues. So climate change is one among many different mm-hmm. kinds of changes that are affecting people's ability and wildlife's ability to move across the landscape. So these conservancies are popping up as ways to kind of deal with that, with the realization that if you have conservancies that are contiguous with one another, you've actually reopened up that landscape for wildlife and people.
Like mm-hmm. almost like corridor work, kind of?
Yeah. Almost corridor work. Yes, absolutely.
Can you tell us what corridor work is,
Adam? I was using corridors instead of contiguous. I mean, just kind of, you know, land pieces that are connected instead of having yes. portions that they cannot get through, but then you're kind of using these conservancies. Are they kind of getting land that is connected or attached to other lands, so then there is more of a constant flow that they can move through? Is that kind of the idea?
Absolutely. I mean, not all conservancies are connected, but for instance, in northern Kenya, there's a Northern Rangelands Trust, which is composed of 26 contiguous conservancies. And what that does is re-aggregates land that was formerly fragmented. Mm. And that's great for elephants and rhino and people.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Africa Center, it seems like a great resource, not only for scientists and policymakers and artists to come together and collaborate, but also to get information out about Africa nations and the issues they're facing as far as sustainability and biodiversity. So what's 2016 look like for the Africa Center?
It will look like a little bit similar to what we've been doing in the last year in terms of hosting people and panels. We also have a long-term goal of actually finding resources to enable the exchange of faculty and students from here to Africa, and to have African students and faculty come here for either training or sabbaticals. Yeah. And that's going to take a little bit of work in terms of finding resources for that to happen. But we definitely would like to find support for students to actually go to Africa, our students to go to Africa, and their students to come here. And in fact, we have a fairly large number of African students on this campus. And one way of meeting some of those is to come to our coffee socials.
Yeah. Cool.
So everybody is welcome to do that.
That's great. Well, we want to thank you for coming onto our show today and talking about the Africa Center and African research.
This was all super interesting.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been my great pleasure to be here.
To learn more about the Africa Center's next coffee social or how students can get involved, visit africacenter.kalostate.edu or follow them on Twitter at CSU Africa Center. If you yourself are doing research in Africa and want to be added to their website, you can find their contact information at their site.
Thank you for listening to the Sustainability Hour here on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins. Join us every Tuesday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. to hear stories from scientists that are working in the vast arena of sustainability here locally in Fort Collins and abroad.